Hello and welcome to the OneTrust Talks Tech podcast. This is episode number 37, recorded on April 2nd, 2024. My name is Roger Dean and I work on the product team here at OneTrust and I'm the host of this podcast. In today's episode, we're going to have three product managers that work on third-party products here at OneTrust. We're going to talk about why it is important to monitor third parties or vendors and how OneTrust enables you to do that. As always, just a quick reminder that this podcast reflects OneTrust's current expectations for product capabilities. Be advised that dates and features may be subject to change and should not be relied upon when making purchasing decisions. All right, well, let's move on to our guest this week. We've got Shivan Patel, who is a director on our product managing team, Justin Harrison, senior product manager, and Chris Bailey, also a senior product manager. I feel like I got the whole third-party team here with me. So let's talk about why it's important for companies to manage their third parties and their vendors. And I think back for a while ago, many years ago, when Target had this massive breach of their IT infrastructure and all these user credit card data was leaked and all sorts of problems occurred. And that was because they had a third party HVAC vendor in there that had a system that was not secure. And so someone got in through that and then they got into the network and then they got all that data. And I know that kind of stuff happens from an IT side, but Justin, what's going on with regulations and with all these other things that are going on? Why should companies be concerned about their vendors, their third parties?
Yeah, so you kind of nailed it, Roger. Businesses need to understand their third-party landscape and the different vendors that they work with. That's due to, you know, regulatory reasons. But as you mentioned, we also need to be able to identify if a vendor that we work with did have a breach, what data was at stake for my company, and what do I need to then do about it? And so that's kind of the main point. The other thing is quantifying risk at the vendor level. So based on the third parties we work with, what kind of access to our networks do they have? What kind of personal data access do they process on our behalf? And all those things translate into a risk associated with working with that third party. And we need a way to manage that holistically across the business.
So when part of what we offer is the ability to find out how good the third party is with their IT infrastructure, for example, or all of the other facets of their business that then we can capture that or a company can capture that about their third parties and therefore they can try and mitigate or reduce the risk associated with doing business with these people, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You do a risk assessment, you identify again what kind of, you know, level of access to your data do they have, and then you can start to recommend, you know, okay, these are the controls that we need you to have in place to work with us to ensure that we're meeting our obligation to our customers and to the regulatory authorities.
Interesting. So what about, I've heard about these things, fourth party companies. How does that come into play as well? Like the vendors, how do we manage that?
Yeah, so that's becoming more prominent now with DORA coming online early next year. And so we need a way to really start to define, okay, we have a third party that we have a contract with directly, but who are the third parties that third party works with,
right,
that we don't have a direct relationship with, but are ultimately still involved in some aspect of our business and present some level of risk to what we're doing as an organization.
So with DORA, is that a requirement that like my third party reports on their third parties and then they give that to me as the primary company? Is that part of that regulation?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So that's where we can actually get information from the company directly. But I know there's a lot of other things that come into play, such as, you know, they're doing business overseas and in a not so great manner, or their CEO has gotten into trouble with something. So, Chris, I know you're all about the third party due diligence. What's going on with that, and how does that affect the whole relationship with third parties?
When we talk about due diligence, it's almost a misnomer because the entire process of everything that we're doing related to management of third parties is due diligence. So sending of assessments, when we're talking about Justin and the product that he works on, third party risk management, it's got to focus on due diligence around IT security, information security, privacy concerns. Then TPDD, even though it's called third-party due diligence, it's due diligence around the more ethical concerns that a compliance or legal team would be managing related to bribery and corruption risk, sanctions risk. All of these different components are critical parts of the entire, like, holistic life cycle of due diligence around a third party. And one of the key pieces that's foundational to all of this is framing each and every one of these third parties in terms of what the inherent risk is in working with them. So that's only done by our customers, our users, defining what they find to be more critical or less critical, and defining those to then determine what levels of due diligence should be applied related to that relationship. You know, you brought up the Target data breach. That was a critical breach, critical risk, critical breakdown in their control structures. That's something that should have been analyzed and aware of as that engagement unfolded with that HVAC contractor. Whereas, you know, what's the risk of the window washer at Target as a third party operating? A much lower risk,
right? The
systems risk, et cetera. So that's foundational part of this whole process of third party due diligence.
Makes sense.
What is the inherent risk?
Yeah, absolutely. And you said that something key to me, I think, is where the companies can determine, like, what's acceptable. Does that mean that there's not really any regulations around that? And it's more with respect to bribery and corruption and all that stuff, is unlike with the actual DORIS and other regulations that are out there, is it more of a, you know, it just makes the company look bad versus it's actually breaking regulation? Or are there regulations around making sure that your third parties are not, you know, unethical, I guess?
I would say it's actually the opposite. The idea of applying a risk-based approach is a regulatory expectation in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
That's the foundation of a program. So by doing that, what you're doing is adhering to regulations. There's a myriad of regulations that our products are seeking to comply with. For instance, my focus is around regulations such as the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act in the U.S., U.K. Bribery Act in the U.K., Sapandu in France. There's a multitude of legislation that we're trying to adhere to. Then there's evolving legislation around that deeper supply chain risk, like LKSG in Germany and an upcoming EU directive around that same those same issues. What are the human trafficking concerns in your supply chain? What are the environmental abuses that might be occurring in your supply chain? So there's a bunch of different regulations we have to help our customers adhere to. The only way they're going to be able to effectively adhere to that is by applying that risk-based approach and assessing that inherent risk up front, and then applying the relative due diligence based on that inherent risk. That's critical if, you know, an audit or a government review comes in and says, what's your program? That forms the basis of how you've made the decisions you have from a due diligence perspective.
Wow, makes sense. Yeah, that's a lot to it. And so it's not just about, I don't want my reputation to be bad out there in the marketplace. There's a lot of regulations and a lot of legal ramifications if my third parties are doing things they shouldn't be doing. So yeah, that's really cool. Maybe Shivan, go to you and let's talk about our risk exchange and what is that all about? It's just yet another, I guess, leg on the three-legged stool. We've got, you know, risk management, we've got due diligence, and we have the risk exchange. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and why we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the name of the game is data. Like Chris mentioned, the inherent risk is probably the most critical starting point of really knowing the level to assess your third parties on. And the data that comes from the due diligence product around the sanctions list and things of that nature is also supplemented with our risk exchange, where we partner with a lot of, you know, well-known data providers in different risk areas, such as Security Scorecard and Risk Recon for cybersecurity data, Supply Wisdom for operational data, Rapid Ratings for financial health ratings for public companies, And really what that helps, you know, the day in, day out user do is they only know what they know. They're only going to be able to assess so much and kind of inherently know the risk of that third party. But that data acts as a supplement to help you make that decision. Whether it's a critical or low risk initially, the data points that you get from our exchange are going to kind of help either validate or change the way that you assess that third party. And from there, it really comes to, you know, we know assessments aren't going to go anywhere, especially point in time, but the ongoing screening, the ongoing monitoring, the ongoing tracking of as these scores change and new risks and issues get surfaced, you're actually able to action that and either send a notification to an internal business owner, send an assessment to the vendor to ask them what's going on. We noticed your application security score is degraded by 80%, right? So it's kind of moving from a point in time to a more continuous monitoring approach. And a combination of all those three products and the automation behind it is really where the value comes in.
That makes sense. I listen to you guys. I don't understand how anyone could possibly do this without a tool like ours. Like if you tried to do this in a spreadsheet and you had hundreds and hundreds of vendors and they had hundreds and hundreds of vendors themselves, I have no idea how, I mean, can anyone do this like in Excel these days? It seems like it's got way too much data.
Yeah, there's a lot of different, you know, components of this. You know, we do offer a way to track specific engagements that you have for your third party. So for example, if you're using Microsoft, the way that you evaluate Office 365 is going to be dramatically different than the way that you would evaluate if they're using it for Azure, if you're building your platform on there. So there's a lot of different variables that are going to impact the way that you build out your program, why having a tool to allow you to scale that becomes more important.
Yeah, and Justin and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, where you can break up your vendors like a Microsoft into smaller entities and apply different rules or different get different information for them. So thanks, Shivan. So anyone you guys like have any really cool features coming up that you're excited about over the next maybe quarter or two that we'd like to touch on before we wrap this thing up?
I can jump in. What do you talk a little bit about? Yeah, so we've talked a little bit about DORA, which is, you know, becoming an increasing concern, especially on how our customers can manage fourth parties. As you can imagine, Roger, you probably, if you're anything like me, I have trouble just managing my own self, let alone third parties related to me.
Yeah.
And then you try and add fourth parties on top of that, it gets overwhelming. And we're taking a lot of steps to help our customers manage their fourth parties. So we're going to be adding the ability to just import and legacy load any third or fourth party data into the system for management around what Shivan was talking about, with just being able to pull instant risk data on those third parties and or fourth parties. That capability is coming soon, you know, as it applies to third party due diligence. One of the top concerns is not necessarily just screening your third parties, but also screening the beneficial owners of those third parties. So this is going to give our customers the tooling and capability to do that, you know, in a single action, a single data load, and get a lot of robust risk data back, essentially at the click of a button.
Nice.
That's one thing we're working on. Another, as I was mentioning earlier, applying a risk-based approach is fundamental. And so we're building something that we're calling configurable screening request templates. Basically, this allows our customers to say, if I've identified this third party that I am onboarding and potentially going to sign a contract with, if I've identified them to be that window washer, low-risk third party to my organization, then I'm only going to screen and do a check on sanctions. Is this individual a sanctioned entity because they are defined as low risk? And then that HVAC third party that I've identified as presenting much higher risk, I'm going to do a deeper check on their background. And I can apply these screening templates based on that inherent risk calculation as an example, so that my teams, my compliance teams that are managing these relationships are reviewing the data that's most risk relevant. So they're using their time more effectively. It's reducing the amount of noise that might come back from that screening data provider based on, you know, a more refined request. So very powerful on many fronts, really helping our customers maximize their time as well as their compliance budgets by applying this additional layer of due diligence.
That sounds really cool. Yeah, just more and more and more tools to help manage all of the data coming in. That's really neat. Well, thanks a lot, fellas. This has been really educational and helpful for me. Hopefully, it's been for everybody else. And I know Chris and Justin, you guys have got some features coming out in the spring release. It's coming up in May. We will cover that in additional podcasts and videos on MyOneTrust. But I really appreciate you guys joining the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us, Roger.
Yeah, thank you, Roger.
And that's all for this week. Thanks to Shiv and Justin and Chris for coming onto the podcast and providing all that great insight into third-party management. If you've got feedback, questions, or recommendations, please don't hesitate to contact us by sending an email to podcast@onetrust.com. I'll be traveling over the next few weeks, but plan on recording episodes on the road, so the sound may not be great, but the content should be fine. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.